Today, 57 years ago, that is on March 8, 1952, the artificial heart was first used on a 41-year-old patient, and for that effort, he lived an extra 80 minutes, 80 minuto. But through that first effort of using the artificial heart, today, the artificial heart is now an ordinary medical option for those who have the means, and one can live a normal life through using artificial heart. And it all began with this experiment on this day, which is its anniversary. But let me tell you, when it comes to the artificial heart, long, long before it was used in the medical field, there were many in the spiritual realm, people who drew near to God with an artificiality which is objectionable to God. Pagdating sa artificial na puso sa paglapit sa Diyos, yan ay noong-noon pa ginagawa na ng maraming tao. At bagamat yan ay mabuti sa larangan ng medisina, pagdating sa katotohanan ng ating pagkatao sa harap ng Diyos, anumang artificial ay hindi tinatanggap ng Diyos. At ito'y nakita na natin sa panahon ni Amos. We have seen something of that artificiality of worship in our study of the period of Amos, in particular in Israel, in their worship in the place called Bethel, a very historic place, and yet Bethel was transformed into a place of worship which was objectionable to God. Hindi katanggap-tanggap sa Diyos. And no wonder that Amos delivered oracles of judgments, and what is most surprising to his hearers is that while he delivered oracles of judgments against surrounding nations, yet he reserves the longest oracle and the sharpest oracle of judgment against Israel itself. Yung mga pahayag yan ng mga hatol ng Diyos ay kabi-kabilang mga bansa ang kanyang pinagpahayagan, subalit yung pinakamahaba at yung pinakamatalas na pahayag ng hatol ng Diyos ay inilaan niya para sa bayan ng Israel. And I'm sure this was no doubt to the utter dismay of the Israelites. Chapters 3 and 4 issued warnings, and warnings leading to this ultimatum: prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And from there, we learn the fact that warnings are issued by God through His messengers before the irreversible judgment to come. Bago siya humatol talaga ng hindi na mapipigilan, layunin ng Diyos na magbigay ng mga babala. Kung kaya't kung ikaw ay tumatanggap ng mga babala, ito iyong seryosohin, sapagkat ang kasunod na niyan ay maaring ultimatum na ang kasunod ay ang mismong parusa na ng Diyos. And then in chapter 5, there we see in the first half of chapter 5, a dirge, that is a lamentation, a hymn of grief. And the grief is one expressed by the prophet himself. And through the prophet, God himself is expressing lamentation. Naghihinagpis, nagdadalamhati ang Diyos mismo sa harap ng kasalanan ng bayan na dapat nilang pagsisihan. At ang naging panawagan sa kanila ay magkaroon ng tunay na kalumbayan, may tunay na pagdadalamhati para sa kanilang kasalanan. At yan ay maibibigay lamang ng biyaya. And so our last message is to the point that seeking the Lord requires grief over sin. And that grief, grace alone can bestow. I invite you now to turn to chapter 5 as we continue this oracle of Amos against Israel. We now turn to verses 18 to 27 of Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, beginning verse 18 to verse 27. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord, for what good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or as though he went into the house, leaned his hand on the wall, and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light? Is it not very dark with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. But let justice run down like water, and righteousness like a mighty stream. Did you offer me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? You also carried Sikoth, your king, and Chiun, your idols, the star of your gods, which you made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts. Now, this passage that we read contains the verse that makes Amos the favorite of radical militants. Yung mga militante na kapag sila'y gagamit ng Biblia, ito yung isang paborito nilang gamitin. Itong sinabi ni Amos, let justice roll down like water. And sounds very good. Sounds very militant and very radical. Just like liberation theologians who love to quote from Exodus, the words of Yahweh set my people free, and then from there conclude that the message of the scriptures is freedom from poverty. Well, it's so out of context. And the same is true with what they do to Amos. It's good to hear, let justice roll down like water, and then use that for revolutionary causes. That simply is out of context. But then, there is a danger. There is a danger that because of these radical elements, we blind ourselves or deafen our ears to the real passion and cry of Amos for justice. For that, we cannot avoid. It is crying out for justice. Ito ay humihiyaw ng katarungan. At kung tayo ay makikinig lamang sa mga radikal at sabihin natin, iwasan natin yan, ayaw natin maging militanteng kagaya nila, ay magiging bingi tayo sa hiyaw ni Amos para sa katarungan. At yan ay humihiyaw dito sa ating pahina. The page that we have read is crying out for justice. And what we need to do is take it honestly, wherever it may lead us, for as long as it is according and consistent with the text of Scripture. We cannot avoid the fact that there is a cry for justice here. Yet, what is so ironic is that it was at a time that there was so much religious exercise by the people. So here is the irony. There's so much religion in the society of Israel, yet amidst the abundance of religion, there was a dearth of justice. Masagana ang relihiyon, subalit sa gitna ng sagana ng kanilang relihiyon ay merong kawalan ng hustisya. May kawalan ng katarungan at maliwanag ang salita ng Panginoon dito, hindi katanggap-tanggap. Hindi katanggap-tanggap ang anumang relihiyon na ginagamit na lamang upang takasan ang katungkulan sa katarungan. Religion that is simply escaping from the obligation of justice is unacceptable to God, and that's going to be my message. It may sound negative, but I hope to show that this is something that you and I need. The message is this: God rejects an escapist religion that bears no fruit of justice with fellow men. God rejects an escapist religion that bears no fruit of justice with fellow men. Tinatanggihan ng Diyos ang relihiyong tumatakas sa pananagutan ng katarungan sa ating kapwa-tao. So here are two things that God intended to be together, but the Israelites managed to separate them. There's religion. Religion is devotion to God, which is expressed in worship exercises, the very thing we're doing today. We're exercising religion. Religion not in its organized sense, but religion in the sense of devotion to God. An exercise of devotion to God through worship. We are doing religion today, and that is good in and of itself. But on the other hand, there is justice. Justice is social righteousness with men. And while the Israelites had an abundance of religion and worship exercises, there was hardly any evidence of justice. In fact, quite the opposite of it. And so we ask, how is that possible? For these two to be so separated, and yet not only did it happen in Israel, it happens in every generation. It happens all the time, the separation of religion and justice. And those are the two things I want us to address this afternoon. First, religion that escapes responsibility. And secondly, justice that demands sensitivity. In order for us to understand the combination of these two, in a community, let us first consider religion that escapes responsibility, and secondly, justice that demands sensitivity. So first of all then, we may be guilty of this. Religion that escapes responsibility. Religion na tumatakas sa pananagutan. I called it escapist religion because that is what their religion has become to the Israelites. It has to them become a form of escapism, pangtakas. They have plenty of religious discussions and exercises, but with an artificial heart. And this is a very relevant warning today. It may be that we are using different methods, different paraphernalia. We don't have their animal sacrifices, but it can still be very true that the same rejected religion of the Israelites can be ours. Consider two ways this escapist religion manifested itself among the Israelites in Amos day, because they still appear today. Those two ways of escapist religion are false hope and empty rituals. False hope and empty rituals. How does false hope appear in the Israelites? Yung kanilang maling pag-asa. Now, this is seen in the way they love to mention the day of the Lord. You know, Amos was the earliest prophet to use this vocabulary, which will become a key Old Testament expression, the day of the Lord. Sometimes in the plural, the days of the Lord. It came to be the expression to mean a future when God will powerfully visit His people. A powerful visitation in the future. And the Israelites love to discuss the day of the Lord. But always their assumption was that this day of visitation was a visitation of blessing and vindication for the Israelites. Para sa kanila, yung hinaharap na araw ng Panginoon, yan ay araw ng pagpapala. Yan ay araw ng pagkampi ng Diyos para sa kanyang bayan ng Israel. Kaya tuwan-tuwa sila pag sila ay nag-uusap-usap tungkol sa kanilang teorya sa araw ng Panginoon. They love to discuss it. And that's why Amos repeats the expression, you say the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord. This is indicative of the kind of discussion that these Israelites had concerning the future. Siguro, tuwan-tuwa silang pag-usapan. Pag dumating na ang Panginoon, pag dinalaw na tayo ng Panginoon, tayo lalo pang pagpapalain. Tayo ay mananagumpay sa ating mga kaaway. Ganyan nilang iniisip. Yung day of the Lord. Well, there's a problem, Amos said. What good is the day of the Lord to you? It will be darkness and not light. You know what I like about Amos? He doesn't beat around the bush. I mean, for someone less courageous, he will try to say perhaps, the day of the Lord, well, you know, it's kind of complicated. You see, I know you expect blessing, but somehow, somewhere along the way, well, Amos doesn't do that. He simply said, you think the day of the Lord is good? No, it's darkness and it's not light. It will be like a man in his comparison or in his illustration running away from a lion only to meet a bear. Or a person who thinks he can now rest in his house, for what else is there better to rest than in one's house? But as he was leaning on the wall, a serpent bit him. The irony and the false expectation. And this is what the Israelites were falling into because of their religion. Their religion makes them love to discuss the future without realizing that the future for them is bleak. The future for them is darkness. That's a problem for these people, and yet this remains a problem for many today. We call it false hope. The expectation of a good future only to be disappointed. It is often clothed in exciting discussions. Who will be the Antichrist? What's the tribulation period going to be like? And so forth and so on. How will this prophecy be fulfilled? And there's a lot of this discussion. I mean, I remember when the turn of the century and we had the Y2K craze, everybody wanted to contribute something as to what will happen. people want to discuss the future without realizing that unless they repent of their sin, that future for them is judgment. May mga ganyang tao na gustong pag-usapan yung mga mangyayari, yung langit, yung pagdating ng Panginoong Jesucristo, at gusto nilang pag-usapan sa pamamagitan ng pagkahambing ng kanilang mga teorya o mga propesya. And what they don't realize is that their hope is an illusion. The illusion that they think the Lord is preparing something good when in fact it is punishment. It is the same way that Paul said of the Jews of his time in Romans 2:5, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So the irony is there. You think you are treasuring up rewards, but if you remain in your impenitence, Paul said, and this is exactly the same thought of Amos, if you remain in your impenitence without repentance, instead of treasuring up rewards, you will discover that that day is a day of wrath. That every day you live in impenitence is treasuring up more wrath to come. And take it seriously, my friend. Seryosohin mo ito. Yung inaakala mong gagantimpalaan kung hindi ka magsisisi. Ikaw ay nag-iipon ng puot ng Diyos. This is the false hope of those who think they can face God with their own righteousness. And then to realize that whatever righteousness they have will never be enough to answer to the law of God. But let me also say, this is also the false hope of those who think they can satisfy God by playing with religion. This is what the Israelites have been doing. And so the other face of their false religion, of their escapist religion, are empty rituals. Mga hungkag na mga ritual. Punong-puno ang mga Israelita niyan. The Israelites had plenty of these rituals, but the Lord detested them. Even as the people were multiplying what they did in Bethel and in other forms of worship, the Lord was telling them, in effect, I've had enough. The exact words, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Translation, I'm fed up with them. This is sufficient refutation, brethren, to the common idea today that as long as it is worship of God, He will accept it. No. There is worship that God rejects. There is worship that God does not accept. There are forms of worship that God hates. In fact, even those forms that He commanded can be done in such a way they are objectionable to God. Kahit pa yung mga anyo na mismong Diyos ang nag-utos. Ngunit kung gagawin ng mga may artipisyal na kalooban, ay hindi tatanggapin ng Diyos. And to those who think that God cannot say no to music, listen to these words, take away from me the noise of your songs. Eh, may ganyang pananaw ko minsan na kapag musika na, tiyak na pinakikinggan ng Panginoon. O daanin sa musika, yung hindi nila makuha sa salita ng Diyos. That's what happened to the Israelites. They had their songs, they had their forms of worship, but all objectionable to God. But now I challenge you, suppose for these forms, we substitute forms that you and I are more familiar with. Suppose God puts the question or the rebuke in a different form and says, you mouth the words of the hymns neatly computerized on your handouts on Sunday. But do you mean them? When you sing along the accompaniment of your church organ, do you mean those words when you sing that God is our refuge? Or when you endure in your seat for 30 minutes or so the preaching of the word, do you absorb it? Are you having an encounter with God through your religious exercise? Or is it escapism? That's what the religion of the Israelites has become to them. Escapism. Whereas religion that is a true exercise of devotion to God motivates one's responsibility. Escapist religion escapes from responsibility. It salves the conscience. Pinapagaan ang konsensya para hindi gampanan yung kanyang mga pananagutan, pero masasabi niya na siya ay nakapaglingkod at nakasamba sa Diyos. Ganyan ang function ng escapist religion. An escapist religion is one that is practiced in the same way that you and I go to the mall for pastime. You enjoy going to the mall? I do. I do a lot. Kung nakatira ka sa bahay at sa iyong opisina na walking distance sa Araneta, almost every day you'll find yourself in the mall. And I do find myself in the mall as my form of unwinding and pastime. And it's good. Nothing wrong with that. And when you have the money for more than just walking in the mall, you may even get to buy things. And the people of Israel at this time, during the period of Amos, were a moneyed people. And what they would spend in malls, however, they would spend in their religion. But then, brethren, devotion to God should not be like the mall. It should not be like an artificial heart. As much as I enjoy the mall, I don't bring the mall with me into my house, not into my work, and certainly not into my ministry. I leave the mall behind. And this is what religion has become to the people in Amos' time. After the religious service, they leave their religion behind the way I leave my mall behind. Their religion doesn't follow them into their house. Their religion doesn't follow them into their work. Their religion doesn't follow them into their field. And definitely their religion doesn't follow them in their relationship with their fellow men. It was full of injustice. Well, true devotion to God, that which we call religion, should be the impelling force in the way we live. It should not be a way of escape from the burdens of life. Rather, our religion should be the power that enables us to bear the burdens of life. Religion should supply us with the answer to the question, how shall I live as one responsible to God? Ito'y parang ine-echo lamang natin yung pag kukombine ni James ng faith and works. Remember? This is the old issue of faith and works that James has masterfully combined, where Paul dwelt on how to be justified by God. And I said this morning, pananampalataya lamang, walang karagdagan. Pero pagdating sa pruweba ng ating buhay sa harap ng mga tao, napakaliwanag ng sinabi ni James. Listen to James 2:18. Someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. It's a combination. Our Sunday must be tied to our Mondays through Saturdays if it is a religion that motivates responsibility. An escapist religion is one that is carried by someone who lives differently from Monday through Saturday, and on Sunday, he switches mode to religion mode, church mode, and then attends church. And after the services, leaves the church behind, switches another mode, and comes the mode of work and society, and his religion has no bearing or his responsibility. And that's the kind of religion God said, I detest. Ang ganung uri ng reliyon ang sinabi ng Panginoon, kinamumuhian ko. And this is not to be negative about it, but rather as a challenge for us to examine ourselves. Is my religion one that I carry along when I go to work, when I deal with people, when I transact business? Does my religion come with me? And I don't leave it behind. That's the religion that is a motivation to responsibility and not escapist. And if you want to see whether our religion is one that has a bearing on our responsibility, Amos has a simple test, a very crucial test. And we come to our second point, justice that demands sensitivity. Justicia, katarungan na kinakailangan ng sensitibong diwa. In contrast with the multiplicity of unacceptable religious exercises and rituals, God asks for a proof. God challenges in a simple statement, let justice run down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. It is a beautiful picture. It's nature's beauty. The idea is that of happening as it should happen, as expected. What do you expect of water but to run down? Especially when it is a mighty stream. E kapag yan ay tubig na batis na malakas ang agos, anong inaasahan mo rin? Umagos pababa. At yan ang sinasabing hamon ng Panginoon sa pamagitan ni Propeta Amos ay hayaan mo ang katarungan ay umagos tulad ng isang batis. In the many references in Amos where justice is violated, and this is the reason why I use sensitivity, the people involved or the victims of injustice are the weak. Therefore, our sense of justice is most seriously tested in our dealing with the weak and even the negligible. Ang talagang pagsubok ng kamalayan natin sa hustisya, sa katarungan, ay may kinilaman sa mga mahihina, lalo pa yung madaling pabayaan. Yan ang pagsubok ni Amos. You know, people say, when you take on the big and the powerful, that is a test of your courage. Lalabanan mo yung mga malalaki. Lalabanan mo yung mga makapangyarihan. Matapang ka. Mga ring totoo yun. But I'm less interested in that than this. How do we deal with the powerless? Maybe you're ready to fight the powerful and you're a courageous man. But Amos wants to know, are you a just man? And if you are a just man, the test is not whether you're willing to fight the powerful, but whether you are willing to deal justly with the weak, with the powerless, with people who can't do anything for themselves. And again, Amos packs sin after sin, scenario after scenario of injustice in his prophecy. Listen to Psalm 5:11. You tread down the poor and take grain taxes from him. I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just, taking bribes, diverting the poor from justice at the gate. Or we have encountered 2 verse 6, they sell the righteous for silver and the poor for a pair of sandals. And you encounter this again and again in Amos. And you can tell that this was a prophet whose heart moved passionately for the weak, for those who are easily neglected, for those you easily take a shortcut. And Amos would not let you go on that point. Why should this be the test? May I give an answer in New Testament terms? Because the Lord Jesus bridged a longer distance to reach us than we would have to bridge to reach the weak and the downtrodden and the negligible around us. You follow my argument? Jesus bridged a much longer distance to reach you than you would take to bridge the distance to reach someone who is weak. At kung inabot ng Panginoon ang napakalayong agwat para abutin ka, ano ba naman yung abutin mo ng katarungan ang isang maliit, ang isang mahina, ang isang mahirap, ang isang walang kaya? Kaya ang pinakamalaking hamon sa ating mga mananampalataya ay Dama mo ba ang ginawa ng Panginoon para sa iyo? At ngayon, naharap ka sa mga usapin ng katarungan ng mga taong walang magagawa para sa kanilang sarili. And this is the challenge of our religious exercise. This is the point why this is so unacceptable to God and unacceptable even in the New Testament. Don't imagine that this is just an Old Testament prophet speaking in an Old Testament framework and therefore about justice in society. We now have a more spiritual concern, and this is how many escape the concern for justice in the scriptures. And the New Testament will not get you to escape from this responsibility. As much in the Old Testament, so in the New Testament, the disparity between a religious exercise and injustice to the weak is objectionable to God. It is most glaring. Listen to James again. Concerning the use of the tongue, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. James is saying that kind of disparity of religion and then injustice towards your fellow men, that disparity has not been acceptable in the Old Testament, but neither is it acceptable in the New Testament. Yung ganung agwat ng ating relihiyon at pagkatapos sa ikawalang katarungan, hindi maaari. Hindi ito tinatanggap ng Diyos. At si James din ang nagsabi na yung mayroong pananampalataya at pagkatapos nakita mong yung kapatid na walang makain, mahina, walang maisuot, at ang tangi mo lang sinabi, papanalangin kita. Hindi ito katanggap-tanggap. And so to us, here is one proof that God demands. If we are abundant in our religious exercises, that's fine. But God demands that that religious exercise be matched with justice to our fellow men. Justice to our fellow men that is most tested in dealing with the weak, in dealing with the powerless. And why is there this concern for justice? People imagine that God is someone out there, and while injustice is happening left and right, God is not concerned one bit. That is not true. The concern of God for justice was most gloriously displayed on the cross of Christ. Yung malasakit ng Diyos para sa hustisya ay buong luwalhating ipinamalas niya sa krus ng Panginoong Hesukristo. Ano pat nung ang kanyang anak ay umangkin ng kasalanan bilang kahalili ng mga makasalanan, nung ito'y nailagay sa kanyang anak, hindi niya ito pinalampas, kundi yung buong puot na ayon sa kanyang katarungan ay ibinuhos niya sa kanyang anak upang ipakita niya na kung saan naroon ang kasalanan, ang hustisya niya ay kinakailangang kumilos. And so the cross is the display of justice very much moving, very much acting. From the cross, we see the New Testament meaning of the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord for Amos' generation, Amos said, it's punishment, it's darkness. And the day of the Lord, when Jesus was crucified, was punishment and darkness. And that's where he uttered those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's justice against the Son of God. And with that spectacle of justice from the cross, no Christian should ever regard justice as light, as something to trifle with. Mula sa larawan ng krus, walang Kristiyano ang dapat pag-aangin ang usapin ng hustisya. Kung ito ay nasa iyong harapan, hindi mo maaring palampasin lamang sapagkat ikaw na mananampalataya ay bunga ng hustisyang iginawad sa anak ng Diyos. So when we think of justice, people say Christians are not concerned. That's not true. The Christians should be the most concerned because we see justice most fully displayed when God the Father punished His own Son when He bore the sins of His people. Therefore, of all people, I submit that a follower of Jesus should be most sensitive to justice, even to the small. The kind of justice radicals cry about are often, I hate to say it, but hypocritical. They want the justice that will get them splashed on the newspaper and on the media. They want justice that will always echo complaints against the government. Anything that will surely give them mileage. Will they speak out justice where there is no mileage? Well, the Christian should and does when it is unpopular. This is what I admire so much, and you often hear me speak of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a pastor in Germany at the time Adolf Hitler was in power and was persecuting Jews left and right. And Jews at that time were hate objects. They were hate objects in European society. And so even as they were being persecuted, most people turned the other way. It's almost like serves them right is their attitude. Parang buti nga sa kanila. But not Bonhoeffer. He spoke on behalf of the Jews. These hated people, and Germans would rather see them persecuted, Bonhoeffer spoke on their behalf. And for that, he was imprisoned by Hitler. And yet he continued to write. And for that, Hitler, at the time that his cause was lost, there was nothing more to do. But in a moment of petulance, he commanded specifically Bonhoeffer to be executed. And Bonhoeffer died because he would not keep quiet for people who were hate objects in society. He spoke for them. And where did he learn that? He learned that on the cross. And that became his masterpiece. He wrote a book with a title. There was a collection of his letters written from prison. And one of those memorable words he said is that the grace of God is free, but we have made it cheap. And we have made it cheap because we are not willing to pay the cost of discipleship. And the cost of discipleship is something that we will be required to give in moments that cry for justice. So religion, justice, I ask, does this not go back to what Jesus called the two greatest commandments? What is the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And then he adds, love your neighbor as yourself. Aren't they exactly the same two things? We are told, exercise your religion, yes, but don't forget about justice. And we cannot forget about justice because we have been given its most memorable, inescapable display on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we sing as our last hymn, the thought of justice meted out on the Son of God. And this is a thought that you do well. Our friends, young people, our visitors, you do well to think about. Mabuting pag-isipan ang pangharap natin sa hustisya ng Diyos, ay dahil doon sa ibinuhos na hustisya sa anak ng Diyos na naroon sa krus. Walang ibang panagot maliban kay Hesukristo. And once again, you will hear the invitation, and that is that you come to Christ who died on the cross, because out of that cross is our answer to the justice of God. And everyone who responds to the cross will not be indifferent and should not be indifferent to issues of justice, because there we see the stroke that justice gave on the Son of God. Let's close in prayer. O dakila naming Diyos at Ama, ang mga pananalita ni Propeta Amos para sa kanyang henerasyon ay maaring mga pananalitang angkop din sa aming henerasyon. At napakahalaga para sa amin na magsuri na hindi ito naangkop sa amin, kundi kami ay maging mga tao mong gumagamit ng mga pamamaraan ng pagsamba bilang aming relihiyon, bilang aming debosyon sa iyo. Ngunit katambal nito ay ang tunay na pagkilos at pagmamalasakit sa katarungan. And indeed, we see the ugliness of this in the generation of Amos in Israel, the disparity between an abundance of religion with so much false hope and empty rituals. And yet, help us, Lord, to examine if at times, if not habitually, we may deserve the same rebuke. It may be that we are using our own modern paraphernalia of worship, and yet there is emptiness. It may be that just like their songs become a noise, it may be that we sing, but there is no praise in our hearts. O Lord, correct us and grant that we would examine ourselves so honestly. And one proof that you seek in those who worship you is that they be just in their dealings with their fellow men. It is a justice that demands sensitivity, because the most important test of that justice is in the way we deal with the weak and the negligible and the powerless. It could be that courage dictates us to take on the powerful, but it is justice that will push us to give what is due to those who are weak and the powerless. And it may be that we have such situations in our lives. May we not be blind to this. May we not be deaf to the cry of justice that is so loud and clear in this page of Amos we meditated upon this afternoon. May we not just cast the blame on the militants and the radicals, how they have distorted the idea of justice. And yet there is real justice that must be our concern, for it is forced upon our consciousness by the event of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. For there, not only is your mercy displayed, it is the greatest spectacle of justice if there ever was one. For there the Son of God, bearing the sins of many, have received the full measure of punishment, the equivalent of hell and separation from you, because he took upon himself the sins of his people, and their justice was satisfied. And because justice was satisfied on the cross, we who deserve punishment may now be accepted through faith in Christ. Encourage and challenge each one who still is outside the pale of Christ's saving grace, that they would come to Christ today. And we pray for us who have relished the benefits of the cross, that we would echo its cry of justice. And there will be such spectacles around us. And may we bear in mind that the distance Christ bridged to reach us is a lot more infinite than what we would need to bridge to cross the distance to our downtrodden, poor, and victimized people. And so we ask, Lord, that you will make us truly those who both exercise religion with a real, genuine heart and exercise justice towards our fellow men. May we be those who obey the two great commandments: love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Give us grace to do it. For Christ's sake, we pray these things. Amen.